What is today? October 4th. It's, or October 5th, excuse me, Thursday. It's 5:30 p.m. It's a regular meeting of the Harbor Advisory Board. We'll establish a quorum and call to order. I'll do a verbal here. Member Dowdy?
Here.
Member Hansen?
Here.
Member Witowski?
Here.
Member Green?
Here.
Member Vail? Member Myers? Here. Go ahead and call the Harbor Advisory Board to order. We'll start off with just a moment of silence. All right, next up, we'll do the Pledge of Allegiance.
Pledge of Allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, to the Republic, one nation, under God, indivisible.
All right. Next up, we'll start with the board member liaison announcements and outreach reporting. I'll start on my right with Member Witowski.
Yeah, I had one announcement. There's the Central Coast Economic Forecast event that's happening on Friday, November 3rd. It's an annual event put on by the Central Coast Economic Forecast Board and provides an annual look forward to economic expectations for the Central Coast and our county. It's a great event, and I highly recommend anyone who's interested attend.
All right, thank you. Member Green?
A few things. First off, I've said a couple times that Cal Poly is transitioning to a semester system, but recently they sort of sprung on the world that they're also converting to full-time enrollment summers, which could significantly impact the county in order to accommodate. So the state of California and the CSU system basically identified only a small handful of campuses that have the capacity to grow to support enrollment demand, and Cal Poly is one of them. And so in order to accommodate that growth, they are incentivizing incoming freshmen to consider accepting immediate summer enrollment their first year, and then taking the fall off their first and their third year in order to maximize total enrollment, because fall semester or fall quarter is always in the highest demand and is the limiting factor on total enrollment. So anyway, that's going to be a couple years out, but it probably will just mean that there's more people in the county on a more consistent basis. And so that's a quick Cal Poly update. Regarding Planning Commission, last week there was a big joint meeting between Planning Commission and City Council, which is something that used to happen a little bit more regularly, and this was the first time in a little while that had happened. And they had three big ticket items at that joint meeting. That was last Tuesday, I believe, the 29th. Is that right? 26. September 26th. So anyone in the public that is interested in watching that that joint Planning Commission and Council meeting, you can go on YouTube. It's dated September 26th, and it was on the shorter side, hour and a half maximum, not like a full-blown four-hour City Council meeting. There were no action items taken. The three items that were basically informational were, we started off with an update from Ted. Ted did a wonderful job explaining a really complicated, basically the latest of what's been going on with offshore wind, and synthesizing all that complicated information together for Planning Commission and Council and the general public. The second item was about the battery storage facility and where that project is at in the planning process. Again, people can watch the meeting, but it seems like 2024 is a pretty important year for that project, regardless of what ends up happening with that project. And so folks can go to the city website and subscribe to the Best Energy and Battery Storage update. And then you'll receive emails anytime a new item is posted by city staff regarding the battery storage facility and their in-progress application. Most recently, the planning staff published the results of the community-wide survey asking residents and businesses of Morro Bay what we hope to see on that battery plant parcel at some point in the near or distant future. And then the third item at that joint meeting was concerning the downtown design district, which the hot topic item within that is whether or not downtown is going to move up from 30 feet maximum height to 37 feet maximum height and the potential implications of that. So those are the three items that were purely informational at last week's joint council meeting between Planning Commission and City Council. That's it.
Well, thank you, Member Green. That's very, very thorough. Member Dowdy?
Yeah, I had several things. Offshore in the bay here, we're seeing a lot of eelgrass break up, and normally in September, we see the majority of the eelgrass breaking up. And so I anticipate seeing more of those rafts coming down our bay here. And then we've been inspecting a lot of moorings lately, and we're finding lots and lots of mussels on the chain, which I think is a good sign of the health of the bay, which is good to see. And then for my information, El Nino is supposed to stay with us until February. I'll know more about that next week when I get the latest update. Now is the time for you guys to start checking your pennant lines and your mooring lines, because it's easy now, but when it gets really snotty in October or November, it's harder to get out there and do that. So check your lines right now. Last on this part here, somebody has stolen the liar's bench that's in front of the harbor office. So I think we need to contact the police to apprehend this thief. But this is part of our history and our culture, so let's find this thing. And then some of the projects on the Embarcadero that we've been working on is the Santa Monica Seafood Docks. They're waiting for low tide again to do some work underneath the docks. GAFCO has just finished doing a bunch of work underneath their pier and docks. The Harbor Plaza is in process of moving ahead. That's good to hear. Libertine, I don't know what's going on with the Libertine. Flying Dutchman is in the process of a building review for their project. Gray's Inn 2, they're ready for submittal for their design review. And Associated Project are ready to submit for their RFP next week. So we're moving along on the waterfront. Okay, that's my thought.
All right, thank you.
Hello. Three announcements for me. As far as City Council, they approved for the Planning Department, Scott Graham, to go and search and try and receive a grant in order to do the waterfront master plan. I think that this is a great idea, and it will be something that we get to work on. There have been other types of master plans where they do workshops, and it includes everybody. You know, everybody is invited, and it's actually a really great way to get everybody's voices heard. Hopefully they'll do that. They'll be able to do that. I know that I missed my last meeting because I was in Europe, and I have a lot of creative ideas, so I'm really looking forward to being able to bring those out. Then as far as the Maritime Museum, they're having Family Fun Day on September 14th, 10 to 4. And I think that the Harbor Department should offer to bring the dunk tank out for prizes. So, all right. And then another thing on...
Is it candidate?
Right. Well, I was thinking maybe some high school students or something. We can get something going. Or teachers. October 18th at 7:30 a.m. is the Breakfast on the Bay that is... put together by the chamber, and it's growing and it has really great content, and so that's another way for community members to get involved and know about current events. That's me.
All right, thank you. I don't really have much to comment on for some of the things we're covered already, so we'll go ahead and close out the outreach portion. Next up is, we don't have any presentations this day. Next up is public comment. So this is for anybody that has something that's not on the agenda or can't stay. Go ahead and open up public comment. Anybody else? Thank you.
Hello. I just wanted to announce that I'm going to be holding a series of town hall meetings. The first one will be right here at the Vets Hall, October 15th from 2 to 4, and the subject of this one will be short-term rentals. So I just wanted to make that announcement. I'm thinking the next one will be in November, the one after that, and it will be a little subject of offshore wind. So.
All right, thank you. AGP, do we have anybody on the phone?
Thank you, Chair Myers. There are currently no raised hands in the queue.
All right, thank you. Next up is a consent calendar. We have just a single A1 item. I don't think anybody wants to does anybody want to pull anything from the calendar or the consent calendar? We have to do a motion, Lori. All right, anybody want to create a motion to approve the consent calendar?
I just wanted to thank you for including in the report the timeline for the SCIF fees. And with that, I'd like to make a motion to receive and file the report.
I'll second.
All right. Everybody in favor, say aye.
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 Any opposed? All right. Passes 6-0. All right. Next up is business item. Oh, do we have to do public comment on that consent? No. Any public comment for the consent to calendar? Nope. Anybody on the phone, AGP?
There are no raised hands in the queue.
Thank you. Got to be thorough. All right. Next up is business item B1. The harbor director will give a departmental update.
Thank you, Chair Myers. Advisory board members. So I didn't think I was going to have a lot, if anything, to report. I was away for the 2 of the 4 weeks that from the last meeting, but actually there is a lot I'd like to bring to your attention. One of them was already mentioned, and that was the joint presentation to council. I do want to point out that as a part of that, we are also going to be developing a web page specific to offshore wind information. Hope to have that available soon. That'll have links to different information that the general public can get to and answer, you know, general questions. Also want to mention on November 1st from 4 to 7 p.m. I'm not certain where this is, but there's a joint meeting called by Congressman Carbajal, Assembly Member Addis, and I believe Senator Laird regarding offshore wind. It's another informational meeting. It's going to be available. It's going to be held in SLO, and I'm not certain where.
It's at the Government Center.
Okay.
At the Board of Directors Chambers.
Got it. I'm sure more information will be coming out when that is posted. Regarding Harbor Dredge, I really have no update for that. Regarding the budget for actually prior year, we have some preliminary information. The harbor did exceed its revenue budget, primarily due to percentage rent. That was good news on the not bad news size, but our expenses also exceeded budget, so it was basically a break-even year for us, and that was somewhat intentional. We spent money in areas that were not intended based on the prior budget, which was prior director's budget, not my budget, and we found different areas that we felt like were important and we needed to get those areas covered. Our attorney expenses were up, of course, because there was a lot of real estate negotiations that occurred during that past year, and I think we're going to see that again this year. Let's see, what else? So we are moving forward with the dock repairs, the commercial fishing dock repairs. I think, as I've reported in the past, the harbor budgeted $200,000. Commercial fishing organization granted us another $100,000. That's going to get us started. The plan is to do a complete refurbishment of all of the commercial fishing docks. It's going to start in the next month. You're going to see progress with that, and that's going to be a pretty substantial repair process, replacing floats, replacing torsion bars, replacing hardware, and replacing all decks. So our plan is to go through all of the commercial fishing docks and put them in a position where they can last another 10 years, give us a little bit more time to have a final plan for replacement. We expect to receive our vehicle that we ordered. This is a replacement vehicle for one of the Harbor Patrol trucks. I should be coming in the next 4 to 6 weeks, so you'll be seeing that soon. We are also just put Harbor Patrol Vessel 3869 off water to have the fire system installed. That was planned, and that funding is available for us to get that done. Regarding harbor infrastructure, we are going to be reviewing the DBW grant boat ramp replacement project, as well as the Beach Street dock replacement project, and see whether or not we truly have the funding necessary to finish those projects. So that's going to occur with Public Works next week. As you know, Marcia, and I forget Marcia's company's name, but anyway, she's been doing a lot of work on a lot of design and permitting, DBW, as I've mentioned in the past, has continued to move the goalposts on that project, and so we're going to have a deep discussion as to where we're going to go with that. It's possible it could get delayed a year, depending upon what we find out over the next couple of months. T-Pier, Brady and Associates did a inspection of the pier, under the pier and on top of the pier, the utility systems, the fire system, the electric system. Of course, as we know, there's issues. I think they identified even more serious issues. That report I expect to see in the next week, hopefully. I think we're going to see potential temporary limitations as a result of what their study has pointed out. I don't think we're not going to be closing it by any degree, but there are some areas that are in serious disrepair, and we certainly don't want to see a vehicle travel over areas that are not capable of handling vehicles. So that's something that's going to be coming up pretty soon. Regarding the insurance claim and the FEMA recovery application, we met with FEMA a couple of weeks ago. They did a full review of our docks. They did a full review of the revetment. We've been working with the insurance company. I will just tell you, this is me speaking. I feel like progress has been made, and I do feel like there's an ends to that. Hopefully, we'll know something soon, at least on the insurance side. And then the FEMA side, we know, is going to take much longer. But again, I feel like there was progress made, and I think there's some hope in regards to that. And already was mentioned the harbor facility master plan, or the revision of the waterfront master plan, and I think we're going to see some progress on that also. Regarding the harbor office, as you probably are aware, the harbor office is 100% complete inside. It's now 100% complete outside, minus a little bit of landscaping. And we do have a by invitation open house next week. You've all been invited to that. I hope you have the opportunity to show up. And I hope you have the chance to reply to that invitation. If you do, you will have a special gift for you waiting. If not, you might not get the gift. So we do hope to see you there, but let us know, because we need to know how many need to be prepared for that meeting. Parking, my understanding that parking is going to be brought before council soon, if in not this month, next month. I think it is on a planned agenda item, future agenda item. So I think there's going to be some movement on that now that the city manager is more aware of everything in the city as well as the harbor. I think we'll see some progress in regards to that. Let's see. Already mentioned also is that we do expect to receive an RFP on the two sites that went out a few months ago. So we'll see where that goes. We'll be reporting that to you when we're able to. Also mentioned that we made very minor parking modification near the harbor hut, just in regards to timed spaces. There's just needed to be an area where we have it throughout the Embarcadero, but we have very limited timed parking in some of the parking, the parking lot areas. And so they needed a couple of spaces. We worked with Public Works to get that accomplished, and so that's now an opportunity for people to stop quickly, unload, pick up a meal, you know, not stay there for 8 hours and, you know, take up a parking space. And then I will be reviewing with planning the drive aisle that currently goes past the harbor office and the Coast Guard office. That drive aisle was a one-way aisle. It has somehow merged into a two-way aisle and has become, in my opinion, dangerous to the general public as well as to harbor staff or anyone going in or walking out of our office. So we're going to be looking at that, and likely, at least from my request standpoint, whether or not it gets approved or not, would be to revert that back to a one-way drive aisle. Grants, you'll see on the council agenda Tuesday that we have applied for and received a DBW grant for $38,000. That's for salvage vessels and turn-in vessels, and that's for the next year or two. We already probably have enough vessels to cover a significant number of those dollars. So I think in the future we'll be looking at more money regarding the SAVE grant. And then we've also are making application to two fish and wildlife grants, one for the disposal of hazardous flares and other items. That's a $50,000 request. If that goes through, we would be able to hold multiple drop-off opportunities throughout the year so people can dispose of flares and hazardous materials. And then also an equipment trailer request grant of $40,000 for an emergency response trailer, which would include all of the booms and necessary equipment you need to, you know, handle a spill out in the harbor. And then I want to mention, and you all know Betty Winholtz. I think she's been a champion, you know, for the city and for the harbor in terms of bringing important issues and, you know, sometimes making me aware of items that are occurring that I hadn't been aware of yet, and, you know, she's gotten, you know, ahead on it. And there is a current draft shoreline adaptation report that's being developed. There's a comment period that ends on October 16th, so it's pretty close, and that is shorelinecomments@slc.ca.gov, and that has to do with the Coastal Commission and basically shoreline adaptation to sea level rise and making certain that your plan meets those requirements. And according to Scott Graham, I had contacted him as soon as I heard about it, and he basically indicated that our LUP, which is our local something program, coastal plan, that we basically meet most of the conditions that they're requiring anyway. So we've been pretty much advanced in regards to seeing that our adaptation meets the current coastal requirements that are coming out pretty soon. So that concludes my presentation. If you have any questions, I'd be glad to try to answer those.
It was more than I thought. anybody have questions? Jean, Therese, Sean, you have a couple?
Yeah, I have a couple questions. First up, we know city attorney fees are a big ticket item, hours-wise, against our budget and everyone's budget. And you mentioned that we have to go, from the Harbor Fund perspective, have to go out of pocket on lease negotiations. Is that in any way split with other departments, or is that exclusive to us? And sort of a follow-up on that, when the city attorney does any work regarding CDP changes or enforcement, any kind of Coastal Commission communications, any offshore wind communication, battery storage facility, FEMA communication, and or parking, how is that distributed?
And that's a good question. So we have a certain budget for specific harbor legal issues. Of course, the leases, anything having to do with any state lands lease, the city attorney is going to charge us for. We're only charged for harbor issues and not for city issues. So if you're talking about like BESS and storage and those issues, those are not harbor charged issues. It's going to have to be specifically related to the harbor. So offshore wind, if it pertains to the harbor, we'll be charged for it. But if it pertains to the city, they'll be charged for it.
Another question I had, you brought up parking and a change in front of Harbor Hut. If residents are or businesses are in any way sort of concerned about individual businesses or parcels along the waterfront sort of taking ownership of public parking spaces, who's the best entity to reach out to? Is that a code enforcement issue? Is that a public works? It seems to be an ongoing small to medium pattern that people are asking about.
Yeah, you can always contact the harbor. It's going to more than likely fall into code enforcement, where we would then make a contact. But we want to know about it also, because if it's one of our leaseholders and we can make contact with them and say, hey, you know, this isn't, you know, the way to use those spaces, you know, we want to be able to know about it. So.
And then one more that's not necessarily I guess it's a kind of a question. You mentioned the drive aisle and the potential dangers of the two-way versus the one-way. It is my understanding that the three most proximate adjacent leaseholds along that drive aisle may have lease obligations in the neighborhood of $80,000 within the next couple years, that may be for budgeting reasons an opportunity to apply those funds as part of a safety transportation harbor walk improvement, because I believe that might be written into those leaseholds.
Yeah, I think, and I'm aware of the requirements on those leases, and I think they're going to probably come into play sooner, you know, in the next few years, but they'll also. We want to have that discussion with them, obviously, to make them aware of kind of where things need to go and make certain we're not hurting their businesses, but at the same time, keeping everyone safe.
Perfect. Thank you.
Mary, do you have questions?
Yeah, I had two questions. The first was with the launch ramp grant and the kind of issues we've had with that, is there any opportunity to revisit the scope of the grant? Because from what I understand, we could potentially be getting far more things covered, like electric vehicle charging stations, bathroom accessibility, fish cleaning station, a lot of other things under the umbrella of the DBW's launch ramp grant, that maybe this sounds like an opportunity we could revisit scope.
Yes. What's happened, again, if I can go backwards a little bit, DBW, and I wasn't here during the entire process, but I was here when the conversation, at least, you know, mid-scope, we had with them directly regarding what we're doing, what was planned, and it was a reduced scope from prior year. And it just turns out that they decided again to increase scope. Without considering the amount of resources it's going to take from the Harbor Fund to do that again. So, you know, to answer your question, there's a lot that can and should be done there. I also have a concern that I don't want to piecemeal improvements, and I also don't want to delay improvements, but we now have the opportunity for updating our master plan, and how that facility should be developed, honestly, should be a piece of that also. If we jump ahead of that and make improvements that don't make sense to the future, then are we hurting ourselves again? And I'll give you an example of what's kind of happening with DBW. The entire scope was meant to be just the boat ramp, and they included again all of the ADA factors that were included last time. And the ADA improvements require improving all the sidewalks, but not the building. But yet if we do a building improvement in a following year, all of those sidewalk improvements that we've done are going to need to be destroyed again. So we're kind of caught in this scenario of going down the road again towards what we thought was possible, and they just continue to add and add to it. So we really have to look at this closely. I don't want to move forward with a project that isn't going to make sense for the harbor. And another piece of that, these additional scopes that they've added are going to cost us another $300,000, close to $300,000 in consulting fees just from the design standpoint. So I want to make good use of harbor funds, you know, and not waste them, to be honest with you.
Mm-hmm. Thanks for the additional context there. The second question I had was regarding ticketing and the launch ramp parking. I was down at the launch ramp several weekends ago and noticed that it was packed with fishermen, but very few people had tickets in their windshields. And I was wondering if it's a regular process for people to go ticket fishermen or others who are using that parking and not purchasing parking tickets, because I know it is still, with the ticket, far cheaper to launch from there than Port St. Louis, for example, and we usually have full parking spots on a Saturday morning. So I thought we should be, you know, potentially maximizing that revenue opportunity.
What I can say is I know that we do ticket in that area. I'm not really certain how often our Harbor Patrol is able to do it, but when they have the time, I know they do it, because I know people have come into the harbor upset about receiving tickets. And I do know on some, we've even run into issues where someone places a ticket in their dash and it gets hidden behind something and they end up with a ticket. So a lot of times, I'm not saying that happens all the time, but we do check that area regularly.
I just wanted to make a comment as well. We do sell the yearly passes, so you wouldn't see a ticket on the dashboard. They'd have a sticker in their window, and I don't know if you noticed, but we do have a lot of those yearly passes out there.
Anything else, Mary? Yeah, go ahead, Gene.
Yeah, Chad, you mentioned a study on the piers. Is that for the North Pier and the South T Pier, or just one of them?
Yeah, that's just for the North T Pier. Okay. And that's due to the fact that we have the $1.5 million grant, and having that study basically opens up those funds to the harbor.
Good. And then my next question is, do you know what happened to the Liar's Bench? It's a small thing, but it's part of our history.
Yeah, it's my understanding. And I'll take full responsibility, although I don't know the whole answer to this. It's being replaced. We have a liar's bench.
All right, thank you, Gene. I just have one question. When you talked about the budget very early on, you mentioned that you've gotten more money, which was great, but your expenses went up. Is the expenses, you know, more one-time things, or do you expect the expenses to continue to climb in future fiscal years?
I think from my perspective, from what the harbor needs in terms of deferred maintenance, expenses are going to increase because we need to be spending more money. But at the same time, inflation has caused overall the budget to just continue to expand. So we're going to see both of them.
I guess this is more capital projects than, you know, reoccurring costs.
Yes and no.
Are you a consultant?
We have some routine maintenance that we need to figure out a path to doing it on a regular basis. You know, to give you an example, you know, the restrooms and their cleaning and cleanliness, mm-hmm. You know we need to upgrade that. How we do that, I'm not certain at this point, but that's an expense that's going to hit the harbor if we increase, you know, that activity. That's one where we need to spend more money, and I'm certain, you know, 2 years ago that would have been less money than what we'll have to spend in the future. So we're going to see both of that.
Okay. That's all I had. All right. Any other questions for the harbor director? All right. We'll go ahead and close that. Any public comment in the audience for the business item B1?
All right. No comments here in the audience. AGP, anybody on the phone with their hands raised?
Thank you, Chair Myers. There are currently no raised hands in the queue.
All right. Thank you. With that, we'll go ahead and move on to B2. Mary, if you want to give an update on that.
Yeah, we were unable to finalize this report in the final period. And for this update, I'd like to recommend, since Captain Jeremiah is now out, that we add or consider adding a different third member to the ad hoc committee. So that is my update, just so we can kind of prepare that report. I know, Cal, you might have previously been interested, and I would love your project management skills in helping to close this. But
I would be happy to volunteer. I don't know if anybody else has interest in that at this point. I guess question for Lori is changing the membership of ad hoc, as long as we stay below the Brown rules, especially since Jeremiah's not all right. We don't need to vote on that or anything like that. All right, I'll help you out. Again, Mary and I had discussed this previously, and we'd like to get this, a ribbon put on it and get a report put into the agenda for next month, for the November meeting. Any other questions about that? All right, public comment on item B2 from the audience? Nope. AGP, anybody with their hands raised?
There are no raised hands in the queue.
All right, we'll close out item B2. B3, be myself and Chris. Quick update on that. We've done a lot of research on looking at the use of the water, primarily jumping off the pier, swimming in the bay. The conclusion that we've come to in the research is that some of the busier harbors that are similar to us, they have a lot of rules and regulations around that, and they do a lot of active enforcement on both of those topics. But their harbors are also much busier. We talked last month, although enforcement isn't an issue with the sworn officers and all that piece of it, those two harbors also have the sheriffs. It's actually a sheriff, county sheriff, that enforces that. So they lean more towards enforcement. If we look at other harbors that have much smaller traffic, a little less dangerous per se, they don't have rules on it. So we're kind of leaning to, if it hasn't been a problem the last couple decades, why should we make changes now? So that's that. Again, we want to write that up. Again, get that in the agenda for next month. That's the analysis we've done. The liability insurance we think is a really good idea. We just had concerns about the compliance costs and the burden that might place on the Harbor Department and City Hall, because I think that's a Dana, or City Clerk item. So, again, we'll wrap that up, get that into the agenda to review for next month. Any comments in the audience about liability, harbor liability ad hoc? Nope. With that, we'll look to AGP. Anybody in the queue with their hand raised?
Thank you, Chair Myers. There are currently no raised hands in the queue.
Sorry. All right. Well, that closes out the business items. Next up, it'll be the Harbor Director talking about future agenda items. I know we have a list of things that we've been collecting over the last couple of years. It'd be nice to get that resolved and slimmed down or whatever. So,
well, Lori had put together a summary of the items that were outstanding and trying to get some direction from the advisory board on where you may want to go. Some of these apparently are probably dead in the water, so to say. But if you want to go down them one by one and give us some direction on or discussion, sure, we can certainly have. I do want us to just remember our charge as a harbor advisory board and what areas we are and are not to
I think
get involved in.
Yeah, some of these ones I think are sort of overcome by events and other initiatives. Some of them I think can just get crossed off. I'm just going to kind of run through them. If people have comments, go ahead and speak up. But the wind energy is sort of covered by the offshore winds. I don't think an ad hoc make sense or another topic? Okay, so we can probably scratch that one. The Embarcadero Business District for Harbor Fund, I think we would have to get direction from council to do something like that.
I would think so.
We can just, I don't know if we want to leave it as a placeholder or just totally cross it off. I don't know, does anybody have any?
We can just leave it and see if that comes up as an item.
Yeah, RV. Let's whack that one. That's a dead item. Similar thing with the RV camping. It was a hot topic back before. Vista Battery, it kind of falls in the same offshore wind, so I don't think, you know, unless we get asked by council, but I don't foresee that happening. TOT kind of falls into the same category as the T-bid. This is would be direction from council if we wanted to investigate sharing the TOT tax with the Harbor Fund. That creates a whole lot of other drama. That would be something we would need direction from there. So I would say we would leave it on there, but the same status as the TOT is a Harbor District. Ironman's subcommittee. I know there was a lot of, last time when this came up, there was some post-business review that was supposed to happen.
So there still is a planned post-review of the Ironman event. I think it has been postponed to November. I think it's going to happen in November. So that will be an opportunity for the general public to comment on that, and then if there's some direction from council to look at that, we certainly can do it at that time.
That's a possibility, so I think.
Question about that one. Does that, it's in May, right? So is the plan to have the readout and then potentially look whether Ironman met expectations according to their contract and see if there's opportunity to renegotiate or a need to renegotiate the contract?
I believe it's more about impact from a financial impact to the city. Did it produce what was anticipated, what was expected? You may already be aware that the next 2 years, the day has been changed from a Saturday to a Sunday. So that's a change that we're hoping, again, is going to be positive. But I do believe the update is more related to TOT, sales tax, you know, how did the businesses do, how did the city do in general, and see if the event needs to be changed. There's a three-year contract, so there's not much changes that are going to be able to be made during the next couple of years other than the date. But I do think if things progress the way it looks like it went, you know, this might be an ongoing opportunity to do something a little better for the city in regards to the contract.
Any other questions about that? So, again, I think it's something that we have a lot of passion for because it did affect a lot of the harbor area. So hopefully once the report comes out in November, maybe a December item or into 2024. So again, leave it on there as a potential. The goals, and I think, you know, when you started in January, there was a little bit of a gap from, you know, the city was in the process of doing goals. You know, we had some ad hocs that kind of languished for a while. And just to be frank, about the first 6 months, there was some angst on our side, and we expressed that to you. I think when the next city goals session comes up, which would be in 2025, I'm assuming that we would, whatever position we're in, we would have that continuity that we kind of lacked last time. So with all that said, I kind of want to scratch it off, but I also want to look at it from a lessons learned perspective, because I'd hate to put the next round of HAB members in that same drama. So I don't know if it's... Yeah, I don't think it's anything, because like I said, what's the next goal setting session for councils? What, it's every 2 years, right? So it'd be at 25. SCIF program, I think that's in there. We can cross that off, I think. Or do you want to...
I would suggest that we report on milestone completion according to the timeline.
Would it make sense to have it as a separate agenda item? Or just leave it in the department? It's pretty much till it's all through 2024. I mean, there's like five or six dates in there.
The next milestone would be December. So we won't have a December meeting. So right.
January. Do we have a December meeting?
No, we don't have a November meeting. Oh, we do have a December meeting. No January meeting.
So we don't meet in November? Okay. So I guess we leave it on there just so we don't lose it because it is active. Lease updates, there's so much stuff going on with leases, I don't think we need to have it on here. There's a bunch of other, we have at least two other various committees, and we just finished something else up not too long ago. So I don't think it needs to be a future agenda item. It's kind of active as we speak. All right, so that cleans that up. Any other comments or things that any of the members would like to add for future agenda items? Sean?
I think that we sort of leave it up to Ted in his updates. Anytime that there's any kind of meaningful lease update or update on any kind of specific parcel, I think maybe we should just trust Ted to include that in his updates rather than a specific agenda item. And as long as that's happening, I don't see the need to have standalone agenda items for something like that. I think Coleman Park is slipping through the cracks. It's a huge thing that. It is just inexcusable that we have no public restroom at public park now at Coleman Park now for 5 years, and there was a lot of pressure on this for this item for a number of years. And over now since the Coleman Park grant application sort of went out into the wind, it sort of disappeared for the last 2 years. So I do think if there's any way to get the public talking about Coleman Park and updates, even if it's included in another update or pooled in, I think that's a huge piece of the puzzle along the waterfront. And I do have a question as to the charge. So there's an ad hoc committee right now, I believe, meeting about sort of finance in general, and I was curious which items are sort of in their jurisdiction. Is that ad hoc committee talking about TOT and or TOT audits, gross percent rents and or the audit process there? Is that committee talking about annual minimum rents? Is that committee talking about CPI? And is that committee talking about our past, present, and future implementation of appraisals? And if that committee is tackling much of that, then we may not need a specific agenda item, but I thought I'd ask that question.
So I think, are you referring to the joint ad hoc committee right now?
Correct.
The CFAC?
Yeah.
Yeah, so that's a very narrow scoped ad hoc directed by council to look at very specific issues related to lease policy.
Okay.
And whether or not some areas are hurting our ability to get market rates.
Okay.
So I know we have more than one member on that committee now. That'll be reported probably in January-ish, I think. It's going to take some time, I think, to get to that point.
If there's a couple months from now, if there's an update from that committee or at least from Harbor Advisory Board members, that'd be awesome from my perspective.
So that actually brings up a couple good topics. We're still trying to get our feet wet on the topic because there's a steep learning curve just to get past all those topics you just brought up. As far as delivery, we've actually talked about a similar prospect like the council did with planning. They have a joint committee with HAB with the CFAC. What we found out, what presented, give public comment, you know, whether the city council is involved in it as well, I don't know. You know, maybe just the two liaisons from there. We haven't really determined that yet. We're still trying to understand the problem, and it easily spirals out of control because there's a lot of topics. Right now, the direction we've gotten from the mayor is to keep it narrow and mostly compare to what other Tidelands Trust-type properties are doing, you know, see if we're in the ballpark. But it's pretty easy to go down those rabbit holes to understand that. And then, obviously, we don't want to alienate our leaseholders as well. So it's walking a fine line there. But that presentation and how that gets put out, we haven't finalized that yet. And I'm not sure if it's appropriate to bring it up here in this venue or a different venue. That's something that we still have to iron out because, you know, we're exploring the joint committee space here. And, of course, it had to be a real fun topic, too.
I think it makes sense as long as there's future checkpoints that we all can sort of find out about.
Yeah, I don't want it to be, you know, done in the dark and then just slid over to the mayor's office and then nobody ever see it. So that's something that we're trying to avoid. So thank you for that question. Yes, sir.
I have a question maybe for you and for Ted. I've talked to several lease site owners lately, and they say the revenue is down this year. Are you seeing any indication of that at all?
Well, percentage rent was over budget. So I think some had a decline, but I think some others had a very good year. And I've talked with a few who have had really good years. I mean, a really good year. It was very slow starting with the January storms and the March storms, but a lot of them caught up plus, and was able to beat last year's numbers. So I think overall it was okay, but not everyone did better.
I'm going to go back to Sean's comment, though, is for a future agenda item, the Coleman Park, if we want it on the next agenda, do we have to do anything now with it or just?
I have it on my notes to see if we can't get an update from Public Works.
Okay.
Regarding that.
Gotcha. And then the second one for the joint ad hoc committee, would that be appropriate to have that as an agenda, future agenda item here?
I don't know. If I can get back with you on that, I'm not certain.
Okay. All right, thank you. Any other future agenda items?
Just posing the possibility, and you guys can vote if there is anything, but I did want to bring attention to, as far as income for the harbor department, we have quite a few recreational fishing vessels. And in the next few years, they're going to be required to spend an exorbitant amount on their engines in order to operate. And that could actually, that could really negatively affect the revenue, the percentage gross that the Harbor Department sees from those. And is there anything that the Harbor Advisory Board can do or put somebody as an outreach for that part of the harbor, possibly help in finding the grants or aid in any kind of advisory type of situation for the tenants that we have that are going to have to make those modifications?
You know, I think what could be done, and you all have an opportunity at the start of every meeting to discuss important issues, would be to bring that forward, especially if there's comment periods regarding any legislation that is currently being looked at or any of the laws that are coming into play, the agencies involved that, you know, we would need to talk to. But again, remember, that's driven by the state. And any impact we have will be by a larger voice talking to the state. But, knowing about the grant opportunities would be an excellent, informational piece that you could bring forward. We could communicate that, of course, for you, but I don't always get everything to me, and I do have, you know, some very good individuals in the city that will inform me, but I don't get everything that's happening. So if you know of issues and if we can help communicate that, communication is going to be a big part of that, I think, getting to the commercial fishing group, letting them know what grants are available. If you have that information, I don't always get it. So.
Okay. So we'll just a while ago we talked about outreach groups, and so maybe I'll just talk to Jeremiah and Chris and see if they might want to keep that as a follow-up thing for their announcements for every meeting. And that's what I just wanted to add into items.
All right. Thank you, Charisse. All right. With that, I think we'll go ahead and is there anything I'm missing, Lori?
Could you just read off the ones you want to keep?
Off of the entire list?
No. Or I can read them off for you, what I have that you want to keep?
I can read them off. Okay. So we're going to keep the business district for the harbor to fund the harbor infrastructure. The TOT, we're going to go ahead and leave on. Potential future. The Iron Hand subcommittee as well. The goal work planning process will stay on for now. Probably won't do anything with it for a while. And then we wanted to add two more around the Coleman Park and the joint ad hoc.
So we are adding those, or we're going to wait to hear from Ted on?
We're just on our list. We're not adding
them. Okay. And I also had the SCIF program. Did we want to keep that?
We're keeping that up.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. That was good. The SCIF was just going to be a part of the department update that Ted normally does.
Okay. Thank you.
Were you wanting to add Coleman Park? Is that what I?
Yeah, Coleman started? Park and the joint.
So don't we have to vote on that, or are we just going to vote to keep the ones and add that one as one vote?
You only need one other member to agree to put it on the agenda. So there's no voting.
So one member to agree.
I agree with Sean. Yeah, easy peasy. Yeah. We'll have to do a couple more business items, but that's all right. That concludes the meeting. It's what, 6:30? Oh, any public comment? Oh, sorry. Yes.
Chuck Lawson again. The only reason why I came tonight was to hear about this SCIF fee program, because I have a SCIF that I use to go to my mooring, you know, out to my boat, and I didn't hear anything about it, so I don't really know what that impact is, you know. I was just hoping for some information on that.
Okay.
It's in the report.
Okay, and where could I?
We have an extra copy.
So Chuck, it's in the report, and the kind of the highlights of it are that the policy is planned to be submitted for final approval in February. The policy is expected to be sent to mooring owners and renters in April of 2024. Final reminders and warnings given to people to purchase a permit in June of 2024, and full implementation expected in July of 2024, including permit checks and enforcement.
Well, because my mooring is with Morro Bay Yacht Club, and my skiff is kept on the Morro Bay Yacht Club dock, does that mean I need a permit for that skiff? So this is places where the city, where people are putting boats up, like at Oyster Park or whatever it is? Yeah, okay.
Right.
And correct me if I'm wrong, but I think the intent was for each mooring to come with one skiff permit. So it sounds like that's not yet final, but I think that was potentially one of the things being considered.
All right, thank you. AGP, is there anybody with their hand raised in the queue?
Thank you, Chair Myers. There are currently no raised hands in the queue.
All right, I think that'll call it. All right, thanks all. 60 minutes.